Genesis chapter 20, if you would, tonight for the preaching of God's word. It's hard to believe we are 20 chapters into this book, and yet we got a bunch to go. But it's all good. Amen. Amen. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man." How'd you like that kind of dream? You're just hoping you're going to wake up. "For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine." Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, we've been following our way through the life of Abraham. Of course, in Genesis, we are learning that this is the book of the beginnings. I love the way the Bible begins. It begins with God. Amen. Amen. Isn't that the way your salvation began? It began with God. By the way, the potential of something going well is a lot higher when it starts well. Amen. And I'm glad I got in this thing because of God. You open your Bibles and it presupposes, it takes no time to explain the existence of God. It takes for granted that God exists. God needs not to be proven to be existent. He is God. It's in our conscience. It's all over creation. And the writer, Moses, of the book of Genesis says, "In the beginning, God, when there was nothing, there was God. He always has been and he always will be. He began the world. He began man. He made a provision when man messed up." We've walked our way through the book of the beginnings. We've seen mankind trying to build his way up to God. By the way, religion started way back in the book of Genesis, way back when man tried to do his own thing to get to God. And way back in Genesis, God said, "You can't get to me on your own. I'm going to provide the seed of the woman." And as we approach Easter this coming Sunday, thank God that seed came. Thank God he died. Thank God he was buried. Thank God he rose again. Thank God for Jesus. We're walking through this book and God is making a way. And this is why we're seeing Seth come. This is why we're seeing Noah come. This is why we're seeing the line of Shem. This is why eventually we're seeing the birth and the life of Abram. Now Abraham, alongside his wife Sarah, they've watched God take them from the Ur of the Chaldees, and they watched God bless them. They've seen the benefits of being in the will of God. And they've seen the detriments of being out of the will of God. Abram in chapter 18 showed us what it meant to be the friend of God. Lot in chapter 19 showed us what it meant to be the friend of the world. Abraham said, being God's friend makes you a winner. Lot said, being the world's friend makes you a loser. And I'll say, I want to be the friend of God. So in chapter 19, being called up by God, delivered, if you would, from a life of idolatry, found in anonymity. And now somebody with Almighty God, he's entered a covenant with God. God's given him promises. God's told him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your seed. As a matter of fact, God said, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham went around God and tried to do what only God could do and found out it's best just to let God be God. In chapter 19, he wakes up to see that exactly what God said he'd do happened. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet he rescued righteous Lot. Because God knows how to deliver his people out of temptation. But in chapter number 19, we're watching Abraham now at another stage. Early in our passage of scripture, we saw Abraham get a little nervous. When he got nervous, he went down to Egypt, down to where he didn't belong. And when he went where he didn't belong, he did what he had no business doing. He lied about who Sarah was. By the way, the last thing you won't do in life is lie about who your wife is. And yet he did it. And if you really discover and discuss the reasoning of Abram at the time, lying about who Sarah was, here was his reasoning. They're going to see me, see how pretty you are, and take you and kill me. So his method for lying was selfishness. And of course, God had to get him straight about that. We call that unnecessary detours. You remember that? God showed him that he shouldn't have lied and he shouldn't have done that. And almost identically in this passage of scripture, we're seeing something happen again. We saw in that passage of scripture where he nearly could have lost his life. He nearly could have been wiped out right there because he turned a wrong way when he didn't have to. And by the way, when you know the Lord, and you walk according to his truth. And when you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, when you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, say amen. You don't ever have to get off the path. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fall. You say, I'm flesh, but you don't have to walk in the flesh. You say, I'm human. Yeah, but you can let God live through you. Abraham messed up, not because he had to. He messed up because he chose to. And here in chapter 20, it's going to happen. For the next couple of weeks out of this chapter, maybe tonight, next week, or maybe 3 weeks, I'm not sure. I want to preach on this subject. You should have learned the last time. You should have learned the last time. One of the things I love about the Bible is this, that the Bible is not only a book filled with the promises of God, and it is, yea, all of them are yea and amen. I mean, if you want to find out the promises of God, read the Bible. If you want to find out the goodness of God, read the Bible. If you want to find out the faithfulness of God, read the Bible. You want to find out the eternality of God, read the Bible. You want to find out the greatness of God and the awesomeness of God, read the Bible. Let me tell you something. You can't read the Bible without discovering page after page that the God we serve is a good God. But I'll tell you what else I love about the Bible. God inspired the writers of scripture and preserved for our own benefit not only the truths about his goodness, but the truths about human failure. And he put passages in the Bible like Genesis 20, not just to show us to look down on one of his children that fell, but to learn from the mistakes of his children to not make the same ones. Now Abraham's going to do something in Genesis chapter 20 that you and I often do. And that is repeat a mistake we've made before. And we knew it was wrong when it happened. And we know it's wrong when we do it again. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's like a pig going back to the mud. It's dirty. It's vile. It's no good. I'm speaking to all the children of God tonight. I wish it was that the moment we got saved, we never made mistakes. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible is full of pages and words of men and women that loved God, that were redeemed by God, that genuinely wanted to serve God. But in the moment in time, they made a wrong decision. They made a mistake. God forgave them. His mercy spared them. And they went down the road and did it again. Is that you tonight? Is that me? Do you ever find yourself going, why do I keep doing that? I know it's not good. It didn't work last time. And I should have learned it the last time. From Genesis chapter 20, I want to challenge all of us. God didn't take three books, not two books, but one book and 20 chapters in the Bible to show us you can be a Christian with a lot going for you, but take your eyes off of me for a moment and you'll make a horrible mistake. You should have learned it the last time. Abraham, you should have learned it the last time. Write down if you would, there's a developing process taking place. He's journeying. Look at just a moment. The Christian life is a journey. No. Every single one of us is on a journey tonight. Now, you may not be moving as fast as you want to. You may not feel like you're moving at all. You may even sense that you're drifting backwards. But I want to tell you, the day you got saved, you began a journey. We're watching Abraham. In chapter 19, he's looking at the smoke coming from the city that God destroyed. And in chapter 19, he's journeying. Listen, beloved. The Christian life is never the same thing all the time. At times, we're witnessing the blessings of God. Other times, we're down in the valley. Sometimes, we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes, we've got friends. Sometimes, we're low. Sometimes, we're in shouting mode. Sometimes, we're in crying mode. Sometimes, we're on the good times. And sometimes, we're on the bad times. Sometimes, we feel like we can whip the world. Sometimes, we feel like the world is whipping us. Sometimes, we think the devil's got us on the run. Sometimes, we feel like we're running from the devil, but through it all, we're on a journey. He's journeying. The continuous travel. I won't tell you, some of you are at a stage in your Christian life where it's not going how you want it to go. It's a journey. Continuous travel. He journeyed from thence. He'd spent the last 20 or so years in Mamre, and all of a sudden, he's moving. There's speculation. Maybe he moved because there was so much association with the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Some people say he moved because he had to get away from danger. The Bible doesn't tell us why he moved. Some theologians have condemned him for moving. Without a doubt, there's no need in us speculating on why he moved, but it's factual that not why he moved, but where he moved. He moved, if you would, into Gerar. This was Philistine territory. He found himself not only a continuous traveler, but he found himself in contentious territory. Now, I'm not saying that it wasn't God's will for him to be there. I am saying, though, there are times along this journey where God is going to have you in some places of contention. Amen. It could be your workplace. It could be your witnessing place. It could be your weeping place. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes those around you are not for you. Abraham, listen to me. In chapter 18, he's standing out in the front, and all of a sudden, God comes to meet him. In chapter 19, he's watching God destroy the enemies. And in chapter 20, he finds himself sojourning and dwelling in a land of enemies. I wonder if there's a Christian in the building that says, Pastor, I feel like I'm surrounded by enemies. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to raise my kids right. I'm trying to lead my marriage right. And yet God's got me in a spot where the people aren't for what I'm for. You're not the first one. Abraham's trying to live for God. Amen. And by the way, being in enemy territory is never an excuse to disobey God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were in enemy territory, but they said, we'll not defile ourselves with the king's meat nor with the wine that he set before us. We'll purpose in our heart to live for Almighty God. And by the way, we're pilgrims in this world. The Bible says he journeyed. This world is not our home. You may be stopping through in Falls Church. You may be stopping through in Alexandria. You may be stopping through in Woodbridge, but our eternal home is in heaven with Almighty God. And while we're down here passing through, we may be surrounded by enemies of the cross and those that are combatants of the truth, but it doesn't change the fact that even when we're in enemy territory, God is still with us. This is a developing process. God's working on Abraham. And God's working on you. Don't just praise him when you're where you're comfortable. Amen. Don't just smile when you're at your favorite place. Don't just shout when you feel like things are going your way. Walk with God even in enemy territory. It's a developing process, which leads to a disappointing problem. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. Now what happened? What happened to the man that was so in tune with God that he could get God to change his mind? What happened to the man who, when Lot wasn't on good terms with God, could go to God on Lot's behalf? I'll tell you what happened in Genesis 20. That man that believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness had lapsed faith. Do you mean to tell me the man that was known for his faith could be a person who lost it? Hey, here's the teaching here in Genesis chapter 20. Don't ever think you're above failure. No, I'm a child of God. That's not a sin I'm going to be guilty of. I'm a child of God. I don't have to worry about failing that way. I'm a child of God. That ain't going to get me. By the way, he was just speaking about Lot. He was just watching Sodom and Gomorrah. I wonder if while he was watching God condemn the ungodly, he lowered his standards. Isn't it amazing that Genesis chapter 20 comes right after, if you would, Abraham was applauded? I'm the friend of God. I'm the friend of God. I'm the friend of God. He calls me friend. That's hallelujah time, isn't it? But be careful. I've known so many Christians that were so busy reporting the demise of carnal Christians that they forgot to stay spiritual themselves. Pointing the finger. Down goes Lot. There goes his wife. There goes his marriage. There goes his girls. There goes incest. There goes Moab. There goes Ammon. I'm glad I'm not Lot. Be careful. You may not be having incest with your daughters, but you're lying about your wife. Be careful. Just because you're in a Christian school don't mean you can't fail. Well, I'm not in public school and things aren't allowed. I read the Bible by assignment and I go to Christian. I'm coming from a Christian home and I got parents that love the Lord and I've been at this thing all my life and there's no way I'm going to fail. Beware. Let him that thinketh he stand to take heed lest he fall. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things as we have heard lest this any time we should let them slip. Listen to me. I don't have the data to prove it, but most people in this building, if you fail or fall spiritually, it will not be about a biblical principle you were unaware of. It'd be something you know. You ain't gonna get caught off guard. No, no, no. The devil's not gonna get you to do something that you never read about. He's gonna get you to do something you stopped paying attention to. And here he is. Lapsed faith? Absolutely. Lost focus. In 18, he's the friend of God. And who's he concerned about? God. God, you want something to drink? God, you want something to eat? God, can I stay with you? The angels keep walking. I'm staying with God. Could I tell you something? Nothing, my friend, seems that bad when you're hanging with God. Come on now. In chapter 19, he's looking at God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's really not even highlighted other than the fact he wakes up and looks toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and guess what it says in verse 29 of chapter 19? God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham in chapter 19 because Abraham remembered God in chapter 18, and now Abraham remembered God in 18. God remembered Abraham in 19, and Abraham forgot God in 20. You remember when it happened again? You lost focus. You had lapsed faith. So as a result, you had a ludicrous fallacy. Here it is. Ridiculous. She's my sister. In the Bible, so clear. And Abraham said of his wife, she is my sister. Amen. I don't read the Bible because it's too complicated. Read this. And Abraham said of his wife, she is my sister. Now look here just a moment. This is Wednesday night. Wednesday night Christians are dedicated Christians. They're people who come to church three times a week. They've read the Bible. They understand the Bible. They've got a general knowledge of the Bible. So I think you can handle some deep theology right about now. Abraham lied. Look at just a moment. Let me give you something else since you seem to grasp that so quickly. Lying is sin. Now, before you say amen and duh, pastor, that's so obvious, then tell me why in tight spots you lie. Well, it's okay to lie if something good going to come out of it. Now, what verse in the Bible did you get that from? Amen. Could God have killed him? You ever read Acts chapter 5? There's a man by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. And I would submit to you that their sin would not rank nearly as high as some of the other sins Christians got in the Bible and lived through. But don't you be one of those Christians that go questioning God as to why his punishments are more severe in some cases and less severe in others. The fact of the matter is, he's God, and the fact that you're alive at all is mercy. Amen. Ludicrous. Now, the reason why I said lapsed faith, and the reason why I lost faith in this fear that I mentioned, in this ludicrous fallacy is this. Faith when it's lapsed and focus when it's lost always leads to fallacy that is ludicrous. Here's what I'm saying. When you don't trust God and you're not focused on God, it's a setup to fail God. And much of what we do in the Christian life is preventive maintenance. Are you listening to me? See, most of us in the room tonight will never be in a horrible car accident. Most of us. But all of us in the building need to practice wearing seatbelts. That's right. And here's why. Because peradventure you are in that accident. You want to make sure you have formulated a habit that will put you in the best position to be safe. Are you listening to me now? Listen to me. Your daughter may never get pregnant out of wedlock. Your son may never walk away from church. And you may never walk into a job and get unemployment. But I'm telling you what, there's coming something your way that if you've not formulated the habit of walking with God and living by character, I'm not saying that skipping reading your Bible one day is going to have you fall from grace. But what I am saying, if you've not learned to walk by faith and to read your Bible every day, when the devil does show up, you won't know how to walk with God. So somebody in the building is patting himself on the back because even in your little bit of toned down Christianity, you're so much better than the ones who don't come on Wednesdays. But you don't have to be in drugs or alcohol or shacked up to fall. Just lower your faith and lose your focus, and here comes fallacy. So keep reading your Bible. Don't just pray when you're in an emergency. Don't just dial God when you need 911. Don't just run to the altar after you had a rough week. Don't just call the preacher after you had a scare. I get all kinds of calls. Boy, I call when I see some numbers called across. I say, something done gone wrong. Because I know he's not calling unless there's an, oh, I just had to call on you. I've been having these crazy dreams. I wanted to run my car into a tree. Can you help me? And I'm thinking, God is not a 911 dispatcher. He wants to be in on every day. You should have learned it. The last time. Number three, we'll close tonight. Developing process. Disappointing problem. Disgraceful product. Well, she's your sister, huh? Well, then she's not off limits. That's what the king said, huh? Abimelech said, well, go get her. Now Abraham becomes what I call a defrauded servant. What do you mean defrauded? I mean something valuable has been stolen from him. Now watch this now. He sinned to spare her. And it's his sin that seized her. Now watch this now. Listen to me. I don't care how innovative, intellectual, and how intuitive you think your reasoning for disobeying God is. You are not going to get better doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
Now, honey, now you're telling you my sister, I'm telling you my brother, and we get out of here safe. And next, you know, here's what I want you to learn, and I'm almost done. Defrauded, sir. Violating biblical principles nullifies God's protection. Now, an umbrella keep the rain from getting on you, but not if you're not under it. Somebody say amen. Now, listen to me now. Ain't no use in having an umbrella up if you ain't going to stand underneath it. See, the umbrella is the will of God. But the will of God does not protect you when you move from underneath it.
Amen.
Come on. Now you better say amen, because I guarantee you there's some Christians who are in church tonight, but they're out of the will of God. Because there are more commands in Scripture besides coming to church. And you think because you spend an hour and a half in the house of God on a Wednesday night, and even contribute to that hour and a half by singing up there, or standing back there, or kneeling down here, that means God somehow in an hour and a half forgot what you did before and what he knows you're getting ready to do after we finish. Well, I'm in church. God will bless me. You got to stay underneath the umbrella more than in church. Do you love your wife, Abraham? Absolutely. That's why I lied. Do you want her to be safe in this foreign land? Of course. That's why I said she's my sister. I know you really love her, and I know you really want to protect her, but have you not learned by now that you can't do it on your own? God's got to be your protector, and the only way to ensure and activate the promises of God in my life is to align myself with his word. Do you love your wife? Do you love your kids? Well, let me inform you. You're raising them and you are married to her in enemy territory.
That's right.
This world is enemy territory. They're not pro-Christians and they're not Christian, so they don't know how crazy it is to not be pro-Christian. Oh, I love my kids. Really? Why would you violate God's word and letting them learn the way of the heathen? Now listen to me. Young lady, do you love your future? Do you love the possibility of having a family and raising children one day? Oh, yes, Pastor, absolutely. I dream about it. I've got my wedding gown picked out. I've got my colors. I've got my bridesmaids. I've got my groomsmen. I've got the church. I've got the decorations. I've got the limo. I've got the honeymoon destination. I've got the rehearsal dinner food. I've picked out the cake. I've done everything. Just looking for a groom. But everything else, I've got it all lined up. My wedding is going to be so beautiful. Excuse me, lady, you don't have a good marriage because you're a good dreamer. Plenty of them dream gowns and colors and cakes and everything, and they're all strung out in all kinds of mess because they fail to realize that a dream can't be accomplished unless the God who's already in the future seals your fate. See, if you want what God has for you tomorrow, you better stand underneath the umbrella of the day. And here's what I've seen a lot of Christians. They've sidetracked the will of God in order to spare themselves. And as a result, instead of sparing themselves, they had something stolen from themselves. See, I don't know why I always get these guys that don't turn out right. Well, if you had operated in the principles of God's word before you ever dated him, you might not have let him steal from you what wasn't his. Preach, Pastor! I don't know why my mind can't think right. If you would get out that raunchy music, then the devil wouldn't steal your mind while you're trying to pray. I don't know why my money is so funny. If you'd quit robbing God, you wouldn't have trouble getting through to him when you're in a financial bind. I'm trying to close. Defrauded servant in a defenseless situation. Now, let me tell you. What is about as defenseless as a man can be to know somebody else in power has your wife and you can't do nothing about it. Now watch this now. Abraham's one place. Abimelech and Sarah are another place. And the man who lied to protect her is defenseless in protecting her because he sidetracked the will of God to get a good result. Whew. Defenseless. My wife's with another man who's got more power than I do, and I can't do anything about it. Let me shut this thing down, but let me tell you something. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We are in a battle that is out of our league.
Amen. That's right.
How in the world you gonna march your little saved self through the devil's domain where you're outnumbered, outruled, and lacking jurisdiction, bypass the only person who can whip the devil, and then let the devil steal from you what you messed up with God to get stolen and expect you're going to get your way out of it when you're in enemy territory? The only way to be winners in an enemy zone is to be connected to the one who can defeat the enemy. Somebody's got to get back to basics. I'm not asking you to be a biblical theologian. I'm not asking you to be the biggest giver at Crossroads Baptist Church. I'm not asking you to be a perfect Christian. I'm just asking you to stop violating biblical principles that you knew were wrong before, were not successful before, and you know ain't gonna work now. And if you do, stop expecting God to compensate for you. And that can apply to whatever area of your life you want. Your clothes, your thinking, your social media, your attitude. You fill in the blank. You violate God. You may have an umbrella, but it ain't over you. And you're going to find stuff you care about kidnapped by the devil. It's like them boys got stuck in China shoplifting. It's bad enough to steal. It's dumb to steal in China. I don't care what the crazy daddy said. That's foolish.
That's right.
And the only way you can get out of enemy territory when you do something dumb is to get somebody with power to get you out. Amen. Don't you think Abraham much better enjoyed the time when he and God were friends and they were talking about helping other people than he did when he had messed up with God and God had to come like he did with Lot and rescue him? I don't want God coming and driving through and getting me out of trouble. I want God listening to me pray other people out of trouble. And it's up to me which end of God I'm going to be on. I like to be on the friend end. And not on the, now, I mean, there are going to be some times when I need 911. But I don't want it to be because I messed up. You should have learned the last time. Father, help us. Myself included. I mean, you get us through so many things, and then trials come, and we doubt you again. And we go to ourselves, why am I doubting? I mean, after all God's done for me, why in the world would I be fearful? Why am I questioning you, God, when you so unequivocally always come through? Because I have lapsed faith, lost focus, leveled fear, ludicrous fallacies. And now I'm at the mercy of a heathen because I violated the principles of my Heavenly Father. Help us to know better and to do better. In Jesus' name.